Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Calisthenics Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vons and sometimes Vons. Those are our furry little fox folk friends, and they use he, him pronouns, so do I. Today they're feeling, well, the one Vons that's in the story today is, he's wondering about that computer and operating systems on planets that aren't his, universes anyway. Oh, this brings up so many questions.
It runs orange.
Ah.
The divergence point was the year of Linux on the desktop actually happened.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use she, they pronouns. Neither of us really knows, or let's be honest, cares what that meant, but we support everyone in their excitement. Jesse is excited, actually, because we arrived in a place, maybe, and there is not any obvious weird shit going on.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard. We both use she, her pronouns, and Wealthy is feeling really excited to be around the honey, but you know what? There are a lot of side quests that she'd like to be on, but we got things to do.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix and Steamboat Willie, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic and the out-of-dimension college student. We all use he, him pronouns, and right now we've got our focus on getting that sweet, sweet gold, by which I mean honey.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. Helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Sure. Yes. Lots of things happened last episode, and I recommend that you actually listen to the episode if you have not yet.
Also the other
170 something episodes.
Something. Yeah.
So what happened is that we reached the Temple Town and found their leader, Humbert the Metal Speaker, who, as Harper said, is incompetent and foolish. He immediately told us, "We think of ourselves as scholars." I don't, 100% disagree with that. However, they decided that they were going to work with the Shadow Corrupted as, co-authors.
I mean, bonus, they aren't dead.
They are not dead. That's true. We decided that was not a scene that we wanted to be a part of. They are working with the Shadow Corrupted to go into the tunnels. They are working with the Shadow Corrupted to investigate what's going on at the Glass Circle. And although we had been on our way to go to the Glass Circle, we changed our minds because we didn't want to be around people who were working with the Shadow Corrupted, even if those people were not themselves becoming corrupted. So we left and we made it finally to where we believed that the honey is, which was essentially reaching a sheer stone cliff with a doorway illusioned in it. And we're very excited to finally reach the middle of our quest, probably. That's right. You'll get another 20 episodes of just us getting the honey now that we're here.
I've devised a devious puzzle for you guys to figure out. And the best part is that it's completely of your own making, so I'm very excited about it. But you'll find that out when we get there. First, you are in front of, in fact, a sheer, sandstone cliff. Harper said there's an illusion covering the entrance from this direction into the valley where the bees presumably continue to happily live and make honey in some capacity or another. It appears to just be a flat cliff surface, and Grick, she turns to you and goes, "Master Illusionist, can you solve the devious puzzle of the illusory door, or illusion guarding the door?"
Yeah, I think I can solve that. I pick up a rock and I throw it at the wall.
Your rock tumbles end over end through the air and then goes through the wall.
Sweet.
Hear it clunk against something shortly thereafter.
Yeah, all right. Onward.
All right. You walk forward at the wall. You walk through the wall. There's a door here.
Ah. Well, I solved the illusion. Your turn.
What does the door look like?
Yeah. We need more information.
Yeah. The door looks to be a stone door. It's covered in elaborate carving, mostly botanical in nature, and it's set into the stone. There's a lot of stone doors in the Ark, so this is not particularly remarkable. It is larger than you're used to, but not ridiculously so. Two people you know, standing next to each other could walk through it comfortably, but it's not like a giant cargo door or anything. And Harper goes up to it and knocks a short pattern of four knocks that I will not do because it would not make for great audio. And the door slides open.
What do we see?
A cave. But you also see the other end of the cave because it's not that long.
Is it a cave cave or is it a tunnel cave? Like with metal?
It is a cave cave. It is stone. Cave. Okay. It is looks like it's been smoothed out a bit by whoever lived here, but it is not notably altered, and it especially does not have metal walls.
Okay. I'm going to cast detect magic.
Well, the door opened. Is there anyone in there?
Not in the...
Well, I would think that they would have said that.
I don't know. Ian forgets to tell us things like, there's a person standing there.
Sometimes.
I don't think they forget that often.
I don't know. A door opening, I would think there's a person on the other side of the door.
Well, there's a passage. Not a very long passage.
Okay.
Tunnel.
I'm going to cast Detect Magic.
See light coming from the other side.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you cast Detect Magic.
Yes.
Except for the magic of friendship and the illusion behind you. There is no magic in this area.
Okay. I let everybody know that.
What school of magic is the magic of friendship?
Enchantment, I guess. All right. So yeah, you're clear for magic.
Okay.
What do you do now?
Jesse is going to go into the tunnel, the cave.
Harper follows along.
let's proceed. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to walk in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse goes first.
You guys walk through the tunnel for...
Okay, I get pushed aside.
I said that I went in.
Say, Jesse did say.
Okay. Okay, then I'm following Jesse.
Yes.
Okay.
Shortly thereafter, you make it to the other side, and Harper goes, I was really hoping I could get y'all to just paranoidly check for traps every 10 feet, but...
No. Oh well. I don't know how to do that.
No, we'll just watch Jesse. If a trap goes off, she'll find it.
I mean, none of us are rogues, so like...
There are other ways to defeat traps.
I'm out of marbles.
Oh, well, I can see why you wouldn't want to mess with it then.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to our hidden valley of bees and honeys and flowers, and it's flowers, and it's occurring to me that the name we have for it does not translate, so welcome to Magic Bee Land.
Well, it's like the Hidden Valley of Bees.
Yeah, the Hidden Valley Bee Ranch.
Yeah.
Shortened to Hidden Valley Ranch. Great for dipping into briefly. To visit.
See, I thought of that joke earlier and was trying to avoid it because I felt
tough.
Bad. I think I felt like I couldn't do the delivery. You got it.
Did I? Okay.
It's really good with like chicken.
Anyway, so the valley spreads out before you. About 100 yards to your right, there's a waterfall coming out of the cliffside that goes down into a wide, lazy river that meanders down the large valley, splits in a couple places, and you can see that it's going towards... It looks like there's some sort of settlement on the other end. It's not incredibly far away, but it's far enough like you can only kind of see it because of your elevation, and you can't make out details.
Jesse looks at the waterfall.
It sparkles in the sunlight.
Where
incidentally,
does the
there's
water...
also sunlight.
Where does the waterfall come from? We're in the middle of the desert.
Are we surrounded by... Like...
No. I was giving it a beat, so Harper checks her fucking, you know, NPC character sheet and turns it to you and says, does it say geologist on here?
Grix speaks up and says, it's a misconception that deserts are barren, lifeless wastelands. They're actually incredible biodiverse ecosystems and actually amazing carbon sinks. There's actually quite a bit of water. It's just most of it is deep underground, but it does come up in springs from time to time.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, because like, if there's like that much water, I would expect that there's, you know, there would be like more like grasses and stuff than we saw outside. That's all.
Well, it's contained the valley. Yes.
And this valley is clearly using a lot of it because everything is absolutely covered in plant life.
She thinks about where we came from and the map in her head and moves on.
What?
I think I've just gotten myself turned around and it's fine.
Okay.
This river is flowing roughly away from every place you've been so far. For
there
whatever
you go.
That's worth.
It probably sinks into another hole in the ground, so at the end of the valley.
That would be very convenient. It's true.
It would be very convenient.
The space in front of you is covered, some would say choked with plant life. There's trees and shrubs and flowers and grasses, all of which are intermingled and very clearly battling each other for sunlight. You hear birds. There's the buzzing of insects. There's presumably the rustling of things underfoot. And as mentioned, there's sunlight. So that's cool and different.
Oh, yeah. I look up. Are there the corruption clouds?
No.
Huh. Oh, my God. What is this?
You notably did not, just to make sure it's 100% clear, you did not see this hole in the clouds when you were outside of the valley.
I think that's fairly obvious.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Wait, isn't this like when you said that you like saw that guy?
You mean Jack the God?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that was a different...
No, but that's a different plane.
That was a different plane of existence. That was his plane of existence.
This isn't that. Is it?
Are we on a different plane, Harper?
Grix has been there a bunch, including the mind time.
Wealthy and Grix both make intelligence checks to determine if this is another plane.
Well, no, I'm asking if this is Jack's home.
Well, make intelligence checks to determine that. Instead, Grix.
28. God, I love being so having my level be
natural
so
20.
All right.
Kelly, you have to stop making fun of people for getting nat 20s. You're also so excited when you get a nat 20.
I know.
Kelly just putting down other people's success.
Especially when it benefits her.
Yes.
Yes, I'm a horrible person.
We're teasing. We're giving you shit.
I know. I know that.
You're not. You're not a horrible person. Just have a very strange
It just feels like I never get a natural 20. Especially with Aaron running. Aaron and her nat 20s. Anyway.
Oh, no, okay. Not true. You do. I've been there. I've edited your excitement down to listenable levels. And I mean that with all the love in my heart.
Yeah, I think the most recent episode.
I hit a nat 20.
Kelly was cursing at something, and that was one of the spikes I had to volume envelope down.
Yeah.
Along with when everyone starts laughing.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, so Grix, you definitively determined that you are not in Jack's realm because there's not nearly enough fishing equipment available. So clearly that's not good. Also, Jack's realm seemed spacious but contained.
Also extremely localized to a different continent than we are currently on.
So, I mean, you never went vast exploring, but the vibe you got from talking to Jack while you were there and your own knowledge and stuff makes you think that it was probably just that one lake and kind of the surrounding environs and wouldn't be extensive enough to reach out to here, even if like you were to have a setup where the end of this valley was connected directly to the side of the lake or whatever. Like, it just didn't seem like that big a space.
Well, yeah, but he's... God, he can do whatever he wants. He can, you know, foreshorten distances or, you know, have two places be conjoined through space and time.
As far as you can tell, this isn't his little pocket area. Wealthy, you can confirm that because this is not a different plane.
Okay.
You study magic. You also cast detect magic. There was no point at which you would have passed through to another plane that you wouldn't have noticed because of when you cast it and how long it lasts. So you're pretty sure that this is just, you know, you're a few hundred feet away from that desert behind you.
But there's no explanation for why there's no cloud cover.
Not that you found yet, at least.
We ask Harper why, if she knows why.
Well, I haven't been here in a while, and...
Did they have cloud cover then?
Most of the stories are from before the corruption happened. So I haven't been here since the clouds became a problem.
Were you here before the clouds became a problem?
Yeah.
A few times.
How old are you? Wait, Harper's a half-elf?
I thought Harper was human.
Harper does look human, yeah.
Okay. All right. So not to be... Okay, so I'm going to have to get personal here. How old are you?
It's rude to ask a woman her age.
Oh, for God's sake.
How old's your dad?
I mean, are we counting posthumous years?
Yeah.
I'll save you the trouble of doing arithmetic. Well,
I'm an engineer. I love arithmetic.
I like math arithmetic, but not real arithmetic.
I'm cool with geometry, but like not a lot of else.
I'm roughly at 899, assuming I didn't forget my birthday again.
Oh.
Okay.
Congrats.
Are you human? You're almost 900. That's cool.
Are you human?
No.
Are you dancer?
No.
Are you a toker? Or a smoker? Or a joker?
Might want to check that nosebleed, just. It's getting pretty bad.
Nah, I'm cool.
I lived in AE a long time ago, and life got complicated and shitty here, so I left and I sailed the seas for a while, and then the whole corruption thing happened. As far as the lack of elvish appearance, that was unintentional. One of my visits, I decided to be one of those idiot adventurers that went down into the tunnel, and, well, this happened.
Oh, fucking weird.
Wow.
Are you one of the ones from the Ian logbook?
Those people should all clearly be long dead. How could any of them still be alive?
I don't know, dude. They all went to sea also, like, after they finished hanging out in the desert.
Yeah, but you'd have to be able to confirm the new name of the person.
You would, but, you know, like, I'm asking you as a person.
Fine. I guess we traveled together for months.
We did save your ship a couple of times.
Yep, that was me.
Oh, shit. No way. I thought I was just being, like, funny. Cool. So you were like, so were you the one who, like, wrote it, or were you the...
No, I'm the one whose family died.
Oh, sorry, bro. That sucks. Sorry. So, like, what happened with that? And, like, why didn't you say anything when we were going to go to the glass circle? And Jesse, like, stares at her like,
I normally get this kind of reaction when people are like, you look human, but you say you're 900 years old.
Oh, sure.
And also, it wasn't the best time of my life. And I don't know, playing tour guide has historically not gone the best for me.
Sure, that's fair. Sure. Sorry. Well, you know, that's like... All right. We're probably, like, real good at, taking care of ourselves. So, like, some real, especially even worse shit would probably have to go down for us to end up the, you know, way that things went for you that time. So, like, the honey. What's up with the honey? very quickly realizing that it's not a good idea to do this. She's reached the awkward place, went a little farther, and has now figured out that she's in the middle of nowhere in a terrible conversation.
Stranded. Nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah, so the honey. We're very excited to find out about the honey.
Yes, we are.
Well, yeah. The honey is all through this valley, and I haven't been here in a while, but it was a semi-wild space, but fairly well groomed, maintained, however a gardener would put it, or a landscaper, I guess. And it's not anymore, so I'm not sure exactly. Well, there are bees. She gestures at some bees that are, you know, buzzing around some flowers nearby. But I'm guessing those organized hive boxes they had set up aren't around anymore, so...
Yeah, I mean, like, after 600 years, that'd be real weird. But then again, maybe there's still people maintaining them. Because, like, clearly this is very nice.
The settlement's at the other end. We can go check. This place is a secret but not a deadly one, so the level of security was often a little bit lax. Because you can just walk in.
Obviously.
I'm a little surprised we didn't see a sentry, but also, there was not always a sentry. So, not unprecedented.
Cool. Well... I guess let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, we probably ought to see if we can find somebody so we don't just, you know, like, walk off with somebody's honey. If we can find it.
You all start walking down the valley?
Oh, Jesse is actually going to, now that we're here, go, Gex, Gex, Gex.
Ah. Gex teleports to about 3 feet above the ground, you know, a couple feet in front of you, and then has a... at most charitably semi-controlled descent into crashing onto the ground.
Oh, sorry.
Nah, it's okay. It always happens like that.
Oh, no. Should I, like, try to catch you next time?
Probably not. I'm not sure what happens if your hand is where I teleport to, but I figure neither of us should find out.
Well, I just figured I could be ready to catch you.
It's just not consistent enough about my orientation, height, distance. I'm always close by, but it's a little bit...
Oh, man. So we should be careful around, like, cliffs and stuff, huh?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. No worries. Cool. So we're here and she, like, gestures and it's, like, sunny out and shit.
Gex is already climbing on a nearby rock. Just like, yes.
if Vons calls you back, will you take a message and shit and, you know, just say we found where we're going?
Yeah, I can do that.
And also the thing is, like, you know how Squirella was like gonna be around someday again? Maybe. Well, it seems like this is the kind of thing that Squirella might be like more interested in. So like, if he shows up, maybe let him know where we went and that we made it. Anyway, you're here. How's it going?
I'm really glad to not be on a boat anymore.
Oh, okay.
What's Vons doing?
Last time I checked, Vons had been tied up for the 23rd time after breaking into the galley again.
Oh, no. He's not even into that.
What?
I know I should say something here, assumption. But...
yeah. He's doing okay. You... It was rough there for the first week. Those shadow-piloted ships are real persistent, but they managed to break off with only moderate damage and are doing okay.
Wait, week? How long have we been out here?
It took you a week to travel to the temple.
Oh, okay.
Or a little bit less than that. And then it took several days to get here. So you've been out here somewhere between like 10 and 14 days.
Cool.
But yeah, so things are looking peachy. Didn't have to bail out any water the last few days. So we're ahead of the game.
Cool. Well, welcome. And
yeah. We should probably have summoned you sooner to like connect with y'all, huh?
I mean, like, I didn't want to call Gex into... you know, the desert.
Being fairly amphibious.
Yeah.
Oh,
for a reptile.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because he would just have, like, you know, needed a lot more water than anyone else.
I actually like dry areas. We just live on the Ark, so I don't really get a lot of options.
Oh, okay. Well, I clearly don't care and have not noticed about any biology, so.
That's cool. You're just a ranger whose job it is to know animals and stuff, so that makes sense.
I'm not a druid, though.
Fair. So are you like the jock and druids are nerds?
I mean, I don't like to put things in those terms, but probably.
Sweet.
Anyway.
I want to make some Spaceballs druid jokes, but I don't know if I can.
Listen to that instinct, buddy. But yeah, cool sunlight.
Yeah, we thought so.
Where's the sun, though?
What?
For God's sake. Did we not notice that?
Well... you don't know exactly what time of day it is, so it's possible to be behind one of the mountains. But yeah, upon looking a little bit closer, you know, you've had a chance to orient yourself. The shadows aren't slanted in any particular direction, and the light seems, from above you, seems... actually, make a wisdom check, two of you. I assume one of them's Jesse, but someone else can make the other one.
I'll make a wisdom check.
You assume correctly.
Well, damn, that's good. Not great. That's 13.
I got a 23 on a prime.
All right. Wealthy, you're like, damn, where's the sun? Shouldn't it be up there? Jesse, you also notice that there is no giant ball of plasma fire up in the sky. But the other thing that you notice is that there does seem to be a, you know, a slant to the shadows and all of that. But if you look extremely, extremely closely, you can see some faint shadows going a different direction than like the main ones. Like there are, say, multiple light sources of different intensities.
Okay.
So it's not completely flat ambient light.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Sadly, your ranger vision does not extend to seeing far up into the sky.
Well, I'll say, I have dark vision. I don't really have, you know, light vision.
Yeah.
If that's even a thing.
Oh, that's right. Both Grixes, your eyes hurt a little bit.
Oh, no. Yep. Steamboat Willie pulls out his sunglasses.
What kind of sunglasses does Steamboat Willie wear?
They are
Ray-Bans.
He's not like a name brand. They're, you know,
yeah, they're aviator glasses.
They're from the convenience store.
Yeah, they're Bartels Ray-Bans. So like they're, you know, knockoff like Ray-Band-esque, but not.
They share a similar shape.
Yeah.
They don't fit quite right, as is the rule for all drugstore sunglasses.
Yeah, yes. I've had many great drugstore sunglasses. But yeah, they're, you know, yeah. But you also don't have to scratch off the fucking Ray-Ban logo off the glass itself. So there's none of that hot nonsense. We're coming for your Ray-Ban.
We got Bartels, you're next.
We fucked them up good.
Much to our own disappointment.
Consternation, yeah.
Does anybody outside of a small network of friends listen to this show and outside of the Pacific Northwest and know even what Bartels is?
We think so.
Yeah.
We hope that you have done a wiki search, dear reader, or just figured out that it's a drugstore.
It cannot be that many bots. Like our download numbers are too high. There are not hundreds of bots scraping podcasts. Like that would be, that'd be a lot.
At some point, I do need to get us a different stats tracking plugin that ignores the noise that bots can have. But yeah, presumably there are some people that are not local who are listening.
They could send us an email, say, hey, we're out here.
Yeah. Letters at primaryattribute.com.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. When was the last time you sent a podcast an email?
Normally, they're not begging us for one.
Kelly.
What?
You wouldn't send a podcast an email.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. So, you know, if we have like 150 Kellys watching this, listening.
I do leave reviews, though.
Sure.
Great.
I can review us.
Great.
And that's why Kelly is a good person. And you should be a good person, too, dear listener, and review the podcast.
Yes, we say it every episode.
And send us an email if you don't have any social anxiety.
Oh, I would say even if you have social anxiety, just like keyboard mash that into the.
Yeah, we've got a rat on the website you can talk to.
Uh-huh.
And he'll just skitter over to us. He'll tell us whatever.
God, I haven't thought about rats in forever.
I know. I miss our rats.
I miss the arcs. I really do.
I miss
a little bit.
I miss.
If only there was some way to go back.
We gotta finish it. We got stuff to do.
I know. I just. I'd like to remind you that you do have the teleport spell.
I do have the teleport spell. Yes. Okay. I am aware of that. But. I
wanted to make sure you guys hadn't forgotten you had a fast travel button.
The teleport spell.
Ian's just being a monster, teasing us.
Well, you found your honey, so now you just need to find a way to gather it.
Jump in, let it coat you, teleport out.
They buoyed by the thought of listeners
fucking
leaving reviews.
Horrible. I am deeply upset at your suggestion, Adam.
I'm now trying to figure out how likely it would be that any given person would drown if dropped into a pool of honey. I feel like it'd be hard to swim in.
I feel like it would be really hard to swim in.
Yeah.
I feel like it's pretty dense, though. You'd probably be buoyant within
it. Yeah, you'd be buoyant.
I don't know. I don't think so.
There'd be a lot of resistance to your movement.
I think it would depend. Are you dropped in it? Do you, like, get in slowly? Is it dumped over you?
So I'm assuming you're essentially jumping into the pool or being dropped into the pool at the deep end and not within reach of the walls.
Okay. That might be rough, because I think the drop will put you down.
Yeah, you start at neck height,
yeah,
you're probably going to have trouble.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not going to do that. So
no.
What we need to do is look around and see whether or not there are any people so that we can, A, ask them if we can have their honey, and B, ask them if they know the best way to get the honey without getting stung.
All right. So you guys go, and you start walking across the valley.
We don't even know. Okay, did you say something about hives?
That they had, Harper was saying that they had, you know, those hive boxes at some point.
Okay.
But those probably aren't around anymore because it's been hundreds of years.
Okay, then we need to find out where the honey is actually at.
Yes.
Well, like, it would, I mean, there were bees around.
Right.
They did mention that. So I would assume that we'll just come across hives and places.
I listen for buzzing.
Yeah, I'd like
people
to keep an eye out for everything.
Now that onward.
We're in a place where there's a lot of stuff going on.
All right, you guys start walking along. Wisdom checks from everyone who is here, who wants to listen or look for anything in particular. I assume everyone's at least looking for hives.
That's an 18.
Yeah.
15.
Got like 10. But
how?
I rolled a 4, but
he
listens, so maybe 12 if we're just talking about listening.
That can work. That's still far below here.
Can I say that I am tracking?
Sure.
Okay, then I got a 22 on a prime.
And then how did Grix and Steamboat Willie do?
Grix got a 15, and Steamboat Willie got too low to be mentionable.
All right, so Wealthy succeeded and Jesse succeeded. Jesse, you keep an ear out and an eye out and overcome the pesky fact that bees are jerks and don't leave little footprints on the ground for you to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And you spot hives here and there. There are clearly, you don't spend a lot of time around bees, given that they are kept by, you know, one organ, like one business on the arcs, and that's it. But this seems like a lot of bees. Because this place is so overgrown, it can be hard to spot the hives, but you do find them. They are, you know, mostly in trees in various formations and are tucked away like up on the rock wall, you know, in a nice hollow and things like that. So you do see those hives. They're irregular and not organized in any meaningful way, which is not surprising given how long it's been. But you also determine that it looks like if anyone was keeping the bees, either A, they don't go this far down the valley, or B, it's more likely just not happening anymore, would be your guess. Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
As you guys continue to go along the valley, because it is about 3 miles long, let's say, end to end, and about a half mile wide. But you go and you are walking down this valley and you look for signs of people.
Can I ask whether or not there are any paths that appear to have been laid down or trod?
That is trails. One of the things you notice is that you see the remnants of trails.
Remnants.
A few, you know, places where it looks like maybe people had put just like stone into packed earth or had just done packed earth trails. And it doesn't look like there's any maintenance being done. And you think, oh, maybe they don't come out this far anymore. But you reach like the halfway point of the valley and you're still, you know, walking along the river and just anywhere else. You just have to push your way through.
Okay.
Mostly. There are a few like patches of kind of more meadowy grasses that are easy to get through, but the trees and the shrubs are slowly winning.
Do we see any other wildlife, large or small?
Yeah, you heard birds earlier. You see other insects. You see butterflies, which I imagine is fairly novel for all of you.
Oh, mm-hmm. Probably.
Butterflies can survive so pretty cold and pretty high, but there wouldn't be a lot of them on the arcs if any were left at all.
Sure.
You do see a few small mammals, squirrels, that kind of thing. And you hear some stuff moving around in the underbrush. There's not a ton of variety as far as the animals, but it's not like there's only one type of bird either. So it's not a whole menagerie. And it seems like a little more limited than you would think based on your readings for like, based on the stuff you've read for, you know, a given region. But so
does it
a little bit odd.
Seem like they like are normal? Like,
you see no signs of corruption, no extra limbs. Some of the animals seem a little bit large, but not titanically so. Kind of like if you see a 7-foot-tall human, like it's out of the ordinary, but it's not.
So I'm going to wonder aloud whether or not, I'm just going to wonder aloud. I wonder, as I'm walking along, as Wealthy's walking along, we say, I wonder if it's the honey that keeps the clouds away. But then we can't see the sun either, so... Here.
I don't know. I bet it's just like a god or something.
Probably. That seems most likely. Because they're the ones who can set up like spaces like this, huh?
Yeah. There's just always like god shit going on.
Okay. We'll find out. Otherwise, it doesn't look like there's any people.
Was there like a settlement?
You were heading towards the settlement. It was on the other end of the valley from where you started.
Of course.
And you end up hopping over the remains of a bridge to get across the river at one point. Kind of going from, you know, the pole stands. I should know the name for this. But hopping along those. And,
supports?
Yeah, basically hopping along the support pole columns. And because most of it has crumbled away.
How many of us end up in the water?
Oh, Jesse helps everyone across.
Yeah, no. It's one of those things where it's like going along a ruined highway in insert post-apocalyptic fiction here. Like, it just takes some extra effort to navigate. It is very possible. Short hops. You can do it. And Jesse can help.
Okay, so what do we find at the settlement?
And you make your way to the settlement, where the river widens out and then disappears under a stone shelf.
Uh-huh.
The settlement itself is cut in, you know, shelves and steps going back up towards the back of the valley and is backed by another sheer cliff. You were mostly on a downslope getting here, but it looks like it cuts back up pretty steeply to the back end of the settlement and then the end of the valley beyond it.
Okay.
You see buildings made of stone, a few of them that are crumbled into disrepair, and plants have clearly taken over them. You would guess where other buildings were based on the gaps between buildings, but they appear to be long gone, probably taken down by the plant life that is now covering them. you do not see any sign of habitation or active people.
I look to Harper and I say, I'm really sorry that there's nobody here.
There's nobody in most of my homeland at this point. And one of the people that runs one of the only successful groups is an idiot. So, you know.
Well,
I don't come back here for fun.
Yeah, I wonder how long that guy's going to last.
I mean, he's been at it for at least 50 years, so a while.
Yeah.
I don't like him, but at least he's a constant. Sort
yeah.
of.
Yeah, it's like my cousin.
Oh, man, cousins.
She's really nice.
Oh, that kind of constant.
Yeah. Then again, she thinks I'm real nice. So, you know. Anyway.
But all right. So you're here. There's hives. There's bees.
Let's look. Let's like search for just anything we can. Like, is there anything left? Does it seem like when everyone left 600 years ago or whenever that they abandoned quickly, or if there's like still stuff here somewhere?
It can't have just been sitting here that long.
Make intelligence or wisdom checks per person, all of you that want them. I assume you're all searching, so.
Yes.
That's a 30.
21 on wisdom.
23 and 21.
Hold on. Oh, wait. 16. Yeah, 16 on intelligence.
Okay. All of you conduct an extremely thorough search. You find, again, most of the buildings are in disrepair, but you guys dig around. You know, maybe there was a basement. Maybe there's an old, you know, stone chest or something that's been undisturbed, and you kind of all come together and bring your findings together, and this is roughly what you figure out. So from what you can tell, because Wealthy fucking nailed that int check, and so Wealthy, it's not a corkboard and string, but like Wealthy's put all the pieces together pretty hard. It looks like this settlement was, you know, clearly around when the corruption hit, and your guess would be based on some of the buildings that are slightly more still intact, and where they are, it looks like the settlement slowly contracted over time, presumably as people left or passed away. And eventually, Wealthy, you kind of put together, you and Jesse put together which one of these was the best preserved building. And you find in a, you know, stone box, a big heavy one, think the size of a footlocker, but that was clearly nestled up against or built into the wall. You find a sealed jar that's been sealed with wax, but inside of it, instead of honey or wine or water or whatever you would expect, you find an old journal.
Okay. I'm going to open the jar and look at the journal.
You open the jar, you look at the journal, you realize Harper's going to need to read this to you because you don't speak it.
Okay.
So Harper does that.
Yep. And Harper goes and reads through it for you guys. And it is a record of the person who put some rough dates in the front. And it looks like the journal was roughly covering about like the years, you know, 150 to 250 after the launch, before the journal ends. And they call themselves the last keeper of the valley. And it details how there was, you know, when they were born, there was relatively few of them left at that point. The corruption hadn't come here, but from the stories they had heard, people had, once they heard about the corruption, a lot of people left to go find loved ones. They left because they felt like this place wouldn't still be safe. A core group of people stayed, but that was only enough for a few generations of people. And that's if you feel like you're in the mood to make babies during an apocalypse, which can be a tricky choice. So they were safe, but, you know, people grew old and died. People got sick and died. Some people just got up and left because it's a beautiful place to live, but it's a very limited space, relatively speaking. And the writer details some people who essentially started viewing it as, you know, a prison, as a gilded cage, and decided they would rather take their chances out in the wider world and see what had happened out in the wider world, because news stopped coming pretty quickly. They also recount how, for the corruption itself, kind of, and this is fragmented because they're talking about stuff that happened before they were actually born and just stories they've heard, but how the corruption, like, people heard about it as being a problem in, you know, faraway kingdoms and things like that, and then suddenly refugees were showing up to take shelter in the valley. Like,
oh god.
It went from a problem that was happening somewhere else to everyone's problem, as far as this person can tell, relatively quickly. So it took a while to get its momentum, and then it really got its momentum. The numbers dwindled. This person was a human, albeit a long-lived one. They mentioned towards the end that they're They're starting to suspect now that they've reached 102 that there's probably a little bit of elf in there somewhere, or dwarf or something. But yeah, they were the only one left. There's logs of, you know, the maintenance they did, the hives, things like that. But they also talk very plainly about, you know, they can't keep up a whole settlement by themselves. They're not even trying because that would be far too difficult. And but, you know, they're doing what they can to keep the valley healthy and happy and try to stop things from, you know, overgrowing and, you know, certain plants from choking other plants, you know, for sunlight, things like that. But towards the end, they're old, they're very tired, and it basically ends with them, you know, saying, you know, I've dated the journal, like, this is the last log that you're going to have for the keepers of the valley, and that they intended to go return to the valley, and that is the last entry.
God, that's sad.
Wow.
Wow.
I will.
Or just having, like, a real upbeat time in the most beautiful place we've ever seen. Cool. I love this vibe for us, you all.
I say Harper just sighs. Like,
sorry, Harper.
Nah, it's sighs in a very much like, I agree with you, and yeah, it fucking sucks fashion.
I mean, like, this seems like a place that we could maybe, like, find, that we could, like, maybe bring more people, like, from the Arcs or whatever, if they wanted to come. Like, this would be a nice place.
Yeah, but there's a lot more people on the Arcs than there is room.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I don't think we want to bring everybody here, because then it's just, like, more likely that, like, the Shadow Corruption would, like, notice this place.
We probably want to fix the Shadow Corruption before we bring anybody from the Arcs, like...
Most likely.
At all.
I want to look at the journal again. It doesn't say anything about why the valley is seemingly immune.
Is it? Or is there just not enough here to...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, no, because, like, there's sunlight or, like, pseudo-sunlight coming from somewhere that doesn't seem to have anything to do with...
And there seems to be no corruption, and we haven't been anywhere where there's no corruption. We've seen people who aren't corrupted, but we don't seem to have any place.
Well, on that island, there were birds that were not corrupted. There was life that wasn't corrupted.
Yeah, you're right.
There was no corrupted life on that.
It was an island, though.
Yes.
So,
but this is so kind of an island.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Is this counting as an island as well?
But also, like, the island still was not under the... I mean, like, the island still wasn't...
But all those people left the village to go to the mountain. Maybe when they went to the mountain, whatever they did protected the island from the corruption. Of course, we didn't go on that side quest, so we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, that pin's just, like, hanging out.
There's a plot thread just dangling right there.
No matter where we turn in the UI, it just keeps saying there's something over there.
My nose is bleeding.
You can always turn those quests off in the journal, but only you players can do that.
I think depending on who is controlling the characters at that exact moment.
That's fair.
It could be either on or off.
Yeah.
So that is probably my question. Is there no description of the reason? Does the writer had no God damn it! What am I trying to say? The writer had no,
like, the writer knew, but it just wasn't, like, notable, I guess.
The writer made no notation.
The writer mentions that the refugees came here because it's sunny.
But that's it. It doesn't. There's no mention of a god bestowing a favor or the honey being a natural corruption repellent or anything like that.
No, the valley is just. It has very, very long days, and you guys see this next part because you've been here for a while at this point, and the sun would be starting to set. However, what happens instead is the shadows slide across the valley, you know, as it gets dark-ish. But off at that entrance where you came in, what seems to be kind of a single very bright beam of sunlight is shining directly on that entrance.
What?
Okay.
No, like, I understood what you meant.
Yeah, I understand too. I just don't, Wealthy's like Jesse. What? That's not how the sun's supposed to work.
how long did it take us to get across the valley? Like, how long of a walk is it to get across the valley?
In time.
Given that you were going through some pretty dense undergrowth and navigating around some stuff and probably taking your time a little bit, I'd say like 1.5 to 2 hours. It's about 3 miles end to end, but you couldn't exactly speed walk it, so.
Sure. I turn to Grix.
Yeah.
Could we like fly back over there?
How far is it?
About 3 miles.
Oh. No, not that far. No. Chunk of that.
If you did it twice, you can do it twice sometimes, right?
I can, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I could get four of us about halfway, 3/4 of the way.
Yeah, okay, let's go. Okay,
yeah, let's do that. Because we want to see what's going on with the sunlight.
Okay.
Okay.
Half of us?
No.
No, there's four of us.
Four of us. About 2/3 of the way there.
Two-thirds of us, 2/3 of the way there.
Yes.
So. 4/7 of us, 2/3 of the way there.
I assume it's Wealthy, Jesse, Vaughns, and I guess it has to be Prime Grix.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're out of people who can cast the spell. So.
Correct.
So that group.
We want all player characters.
Yes. So that group sets off their orange PC vests and flies most of the way across the valley, or, you know, halfway. And you land, and then hiking at night sucks, but you don't have that far to go, and you've learned that if you follow the riverside, or especially if you're willing to wait a little bit so you can push past all the plants that are overhanging the river and have pushed up right to its edge, it's not particularly slow going. So you get back towards that entrance. There's a beam of extremely bright light that is, you know, illuminating the area around it. It's not in a complete vacuum.
All right, so when we're standing in that light...
Can we stand in that light?
Yeah.
It gets very hot the closer you get to that light.
Okay.
Jesse will go into the light for a very brief moment.
Go into the light, Jesse!
Jesse, make a wisdom check.
I love it when you make me make a wisdom check. That's a 15 total on a prime.
Thank fuck it's a prime. Maybe put a stick or something in that first.
I'll put a stick in it first.
Okay. You go and you put it in the... direct beam itself, and the stick turns to cinders.
Okay,
oh, crazy.
That's real hot with your hand right there.
I wish we could take this with us.
Okay, so can we turn back and look back toward where we would suspect that the light is coming from?
Yeah, where is the light coming from?
The sky overhead. It's kind of cutting right above one of the mountains that makes up the side of the valley.
Oh my god, we're in someone's grow up. I'm not joking, actually. We're in some god's grow up.
Seems that way.
Okay, so maybe the thing that we want to do, having seen that this is a... Okay, what the hell? Why would such a bright light be arriving? Okay, I think what we need to do is we need to go to where we suspect the source of this light is.
Well,
which, of course, is...
just coming from the sky.
But, Wealthy, you can try to fly towards it, but that's as close as anyone's going to get. Or you can drag in towards it, but it is clearly up in the sky.
I'm not doing that.
Where
that
is it coming from?
Great question.
And that's what Wealthy does. She stomps her foot and she says, "Where's it coming from?"
I think that if you just like go up to it, you'll find out. Or you won't. And we'll have more information either way.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to use fly. Because I'm just dying. I'm just dying to know. I don't understand what's going on, and I need to find out.
How long does fly last?
Fly lasts 90 feet per round, ascend 45 feet, or dive at 180 feet. This is all per round, and it lasts 10 minutes per level. So that's 90 minutes.
All right. Excuse me while I do a bunch of math.
Yay. Wealthy. Wealthy goes up for an hour and then dives for almost half an hour and then casts Featherfall. Oh, can I ask one question? Sorry, I just realized I do have one question. What is it like on the ground where the light is hitting?
Like directly?
Yes.
Where it's hitting?
Yes.
It's hitting kind of up against the wall and the stone in front of it for where that passage was and smells like really hot stone.
But it's not like charred.
No, it doesn't seem to be. The stick probably took a little while to actually char.
Okay. No, I was just like wondering if there was like a glass circle there.
No.
Okay. That was my question.
Yeah. But Wealthy, you go and you fly up and you fly really long fucking way. Because you can do about, did I put the right number? I guess this is an overestimate because you can only go 45 feet straight up. And it's mostly coming in. It's coming in from a very vertical angle. But you keep going up and up and up and and up.
And I do try to avoid, you know, like the direct ray of light.
Yeah, I figure you're flying like, you know, 50 feet away from it or something. You're following along its path, but you're not like, let me just dip in there and see what this does.
No, I've seen what it does to a branch. I do not choose to be a branch.
So you keep following it up and you see that you get high enough that you realize you think you've broken through where the cloud cover would be normally, because you see that you are currently above a gap in the cloud cover, a gap that is roughly valley shaped with some extra bits around it. And you keep following that beam. You keep following it.
Okay.
And it gets very cold.
Okay.
And the air starts getting thin.
Oh, God.
And then you have to turn around because you're going to run out of spell time.
Because I don't. Okay.
You don't. But you still don't see a source.
I don't see a source.
The other end of it, should you be able to see it, looks extremely far away.
I'm just going to randomly ask, is there a God here? And nobody's going to answer me, so I'm going to go back down. Say,
you get no answer. And you head back down. And right as your flight starts to trickle out, you make it to the ground and gently alight to the stone surface. Or I guess the grass.
Oh, so like, what was it?
I didn't see shit. I don't know what I don't know what's going on.
Oh.
And it's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, maybe we'll figure out what's going on some other way. Or maybe we won't, and it'll just be another one of the things that we never know the answer to.
Grix, do you have any thoughts on the beam of light?
No, I do not. No, I really don't know what to do with this. I want to just keep exploring the place, I think. Right. I feel like the light is just like a component of this place.
All right.
I don't disagree.
So I want to keep poking around.
Okay. I assume you guys want to do that during the day.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
When the light is around, not just focused.
Right.
All
right.
Want to roll for something real quick. You all hike through the hike in the dark, but thankfully you've been across this path a couple times, and I think a few of you can cast various light and or illuminating spells or have dark vision, so you're pretty much all set. And actually, this is one of the only times that half-elf night vision would have worked. Low light vision works.
I'm stoked for the sun or for this light to go away because it's too much for me. That's the other thing. I can't investigate that. I'm utterly blind in it.
Yeah. If you turned away, it's okay. But yeah, like you can't look at it directly for very long.
So that's a your all's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll just like, you know, go and stare at it a bunch and nothing bad will happen.
But you all go and you hike back across the valley. You make decent time, all things considered, although it's very late and we're very tired by the time you get back. I think even if you were traveling at night, you probably did some day traveling just to get here as fast as possible to get to the valley itself. So you get back, you're tired. Harper, Frymeath, Steamboat Willie, you know, have started a fire, made some food out of trail rations. So, you know, it's super delicious and great for you guys. But you're able to settle on down and go to sleep under the stars while on the ground, which is novel. And the moon even pokes its head out for a while as it crosses above the valley.
Oh, hey, beautiful. It's the moon.
Hello, moon.
Hello,
why
moon.
The fuck is there a hole in this cloud cover?
Oh, it's,
Wealthy probably cannot enjoy the beauty. She is driving me, being driven insane by why.
Grix is stoked. This is great.
Jesse tells stories about the stars that she heard from her dad. Oh. They're not the stars that we can see.
Yeah.
They're just stars.
I imagine constellation-based storytelling on the arcs must be bananas because you guys are moving a lot. So, like, there may be some about these particular stars.
Probably. Those are the ones that Jesse's dad knew.
Yeah. But, all right. So, you guys have a pretty peaceful evening. I assume you set up a watch rotation, but we don't need to really get into the details. Because you wake up the next morning, the beam towards the door, whoever's kind of on that early morning watch, which strikes me as a Jesse gig, and I don't know why.
Sure.
You see that beam kind of start spreading back out. And then, as you're watching that spread out, you feel warmth on your back, and you realize that light, much more diffused light that is not a beam, is sliding across the valley from behind you as well. And it, you know, the two tides of light meet in the middle, and you have another beautiful day in this hidden valley.
It's a good thing Welty didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wealthy could have been awake. Anyone could have been awake for this.
No, Wealthy was asleep.
We're just going to say that Wealthy wasn't awake.
Okay.
So that Kelly doesn't lose her goddamn mind.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's another beautiful sunny day. Jesse, as people wake up, you do see that the light seems to move a little bit, but not a lot. Like watching the shadows, because you're used to using those to tell time, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely be like thinking about the shadows all day.
Yeah. And I know you guys want to go exploring, so we'll wrap there.
Great.
And pick up next time.
Yay.
Well, looking forward to exploring.
Mm-hmm. Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter at primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our Blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian, who is me. Thank you, me. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
I'm Kelly.
You are Wealthy.
We're essentially interchangeable. I've said this before.